It is fresh news, Limo, and it's generated many a tribute that Victorian and New South Wales fast bowler Chris Tremaine has had to call time on his career. He started off with New South Wales. Tremaine moved on to play for Victoria, where he won 4 Sheffield Shield titles, a Big Bash title, and played 4 one-day internationals for Australia. He was back with New South Wales and has been battling to get back to full fitness after being diagnosed with a rare condition that Chris will tell us more about. And at the age of 34, he has decided now that it is time to call it quits. Chris, welcome to Summer Grandstand. Thank you so much for making time and tell us about the sequence of events that has led to this announcement.
G'day, Sam and Limo, how are you going? Thanks for having me on. It's been a very slow burn, long burn. Basically got a virus, which I assume was from my children at daycare, which, you know, where I get 90% of my viruses from. And instead of attacking my sinuses and whatnot, it attacked my nerves. So the nerve shut down, the muscles stopped working around my shoulder, and I just wasn't able to generate energy, pace, and more probably, I guess more problematic was that I couldn't keep my shoulder in its socket while I bowled. So that was problematic, but we worked through it for a good 2 years, 18 months before we actually got back to playing cricket. It just never got back to what it needed to be, even though we were really optimistic for a lot of it to get back to a point where I could compete. And it was only very recently in a club game where I got halfway through an over and it was up to its old tricks again, and I just realised I'd run out of time. So it was a slow burn. It was a slow drip out. So I guess when I announced that I won't be playing on, it sort of shocked everyone except for me, because I'd sort of been dealing with it. It was a very real sort of, like from the moment that I got diagnosed with this, it's called Parsonage-Turner syndrome. From the moment I got diagnosed with it, I knew that this is a very real possibility. So, you know, for 2 years I've been just waiting and waiting, and if that was the way it was going to play out, then it ended exactly the way it was supposed to.
Well, you clearly put on a brave face, shocking everyone that you're leaving or retiring from cricket, I should say. So, Chris, how long was it between you just feeling not right? You know, you were, obviously, you're at a point where you're just feeling not 100%, not yourself. How long between that first moment until you got that diagnosis?
So it was really strange. So I was doing some strength testing in the gym, and my traps seized up, and I had a neck spasm, which I think I've got a. I don't think I have a protruding disc, but I've got a bit of a problem in my C5, and that's where the spasm sort of happened. It might have, you know, caused some inflammation in there, which might have just weakened that little area. Before I got the virus. And then I remember one day sitting at home, I got down, I did some push-ups, got up, and I had this excruciating pain in my neck and shoulder and into my arm. And it was like there was nothing I could do to alleviate the pain. I got the physio to come around. He treated it. There was nothing. And I woke up the next morning and it was gone. So we basically took this to a few different people. We went to surgeons. Well, sorry, it was probably another, after that, it was probably another 2 months, 3 months even before that we realised that my arm wasn't working the right way. Every time I tried to bowl, it was sort of clunking in and out. And we realised that over those 3 months, those muscles probably hadn't atrophied much, but they were weak and they weren't working. So they weren't activating because the nerve was essentially asleep. So it was probably 3 months, and then we started going to surgeons and a few different people, and nothing really gave us any indication of what this thing was. And we went and saw a shoulder specialist on the Central Coast, and he diagnosed it like at the drop of a hat. He went, "It's Parsonage-Turner syndrome." I said, "Okay, great. We, you know, this is the devil we know instead of the devil we don't." And I said, so where do we go to from here? And he goes, oh, don't worry about it, mate. It'll fix itself in 3 years. I said, I'm 33. I don't have 3 years left. Like,
right.
And he goes, well, that's fine. You can keep bowling. You're just gonna bowl slower. And I said, well, I don't have a lot of kilometres to lose either. So that's not going to work for me. So, so, and to be fair, look, he was right. I did bowl slower and, you know, we're 2 years in. This thing, it is getting better. But it's not going to get better in time for me to revive the back end of this career. And I guess the back end of the career, I spent, you know, staring at the walls of the gym trying to rehab something that will probably always be with me. And people have said to me, you know, it's not really the way you want to go out. But I kind of just wanted to go out fighting and tussling. And I didn't do that on the field, but I was definitely doing it in every other aspect. So I'm pretty content with how it ended.
Oh, Chris, as a mother of an 18-month-old who attends daycare, I really feel you on the bug front. You know, like there have been weeks that I've turned up with Limo and he's like, you know, did you watch any sport last night? And I'm like, mate, I'm just trying to like recover from daycare, you know, and I'm an adult. So I hear you, but just tell us, and you've painted the, you know, the backdrop to this brilliantly, but who was it that made the link to a childcare bug?
It was just the best possible scenario. And forgive me, I've actually forgotten the surgeon's name. He's globally renowned, and I'm horrible with names. I've almost forgot yours, Sam. So
no, you're doing well. You got Sam. That was right.
And I only got Limo because I thought it was Darren Lehman. I was ready to fly ball city for never picking me in the test squad. So, but they cleared that up really quickly.
Come on,
But we basically just had to deduce what was the most probable outcome. It was you know, this thing affects 1 in 100,000 people. And people came up to me and were like, you know, it's stiff, you know, bad luck sort of thing. And, you know, how do you feel? And I go, well, it affects 1 in 100,000 people. I guess I'm just lucky. I'm one of the lucky ones. So, yeah.
Chris, have you found other professional athletes around the globe who have had the same syndrome?
So we did have a look into it. We found a marathon runner who it affected pretty poorly. He obviously can't use his arm very well, so it threw out his gait and he struggled with that. But one of them was a UFC fighter. And the thing that the muscle, I keep forgetting the muscle, it's up under your armpit, sort of around your rib cage. It's called the punching muscle. That's the thing that goes, it basically goes to sleep. So for a UFC fighter, you need that muscle. He was really bad. He couldn't write. He couldn't use his hand. And he said probably 5 years after was when this article came out. He still has bad days. So there's still days where it's not quite functional. And I still have days like that. I've had days where I'm like, this is good. We're back. We're good. And then the next day it's not. So I'm under no illusion that this thing will fix itself forever. I think it'll just be constantly there. And we've also found that, you know, once the kids have brought another virus home from daycare, I'm actually quite susceptible now. So if I do get sick and my I do get a little virus or something like that, it can start acting up again a little bit. But it's never as bad as what it was when it initially happened and what it was in the probably 8 months that it first started. Because for the first 8 months, I couldn't do any cricket-related stuff. Ironically, I could play golf. So all I did was run and play golf. So it was the best injury in the world.
That was actually going to be my next query. We're talking to Chris Tremaine, retiring cricketer, sitting 7-8th on the list of all-time Shield wicket takers, by the way, with 319 wickets. My next question was going to be, please tell me you can play golf. And you can. Yeah. What a great relief.
I know, yeah. And that was it was actually a little bit weird because the first year I was telling people, I can't play cricket. Okay, so what are you doing this week? Oh, I've got like 4 rounds of golf booked in. They're going, are you sure you're not taking for a ride here and just trying to you know, the old workers' comp thing. Yeah. Oh, yes. Back's a bit stiff. Yeah. So, yeah, Yeah, it was hard to explain to people, but basically I couldn't lift my arm above my head. In a golf swing, your right arm only needs to go, you know, to your shoulder, really. So it never affected the golf swing, ironically. So that took a lot of explaining. That was hard to that was hard to get through the court a lot of the time.
Right, I'll bet. But I'm glad you can still get out on the golf course. Well, let's celebrate your time in cricket. What are a couple of your career highlights and perhaps your fondest memories of your time in cricket?
It's sort of really weird. I've sort of there's no like one big thing. I mean, like I played ODI cricket for Australia, and people assume that that's the first thing you go to is representing your country. But a lot of the time it was like a weird shield game that we won out of oblivion, out of nowhere, or like a moment that I shared with the team. Like I did an article the other day, or yesterday it was. This all happened really quickly. So yesterday, doing this article, I spoke about in that ODI tour, taking my first wicket, and we're behind the over rate, and everyone had to, you know, stay away. I was basically standing at the top of my mark, waiting for the bowler to come out, batter to come out, because we were running late. And so I just taken my first wicket for my country, and I was just standing there by myself. And Aaron Finch ran in from long on and shook my hand and said, congratulations, no one will ever be able to take that from you. And that was just moments like that that are probably big highlights that I'll remember forever. There's plenty of that ODI tour that I probably won't remember, but that those little things like that I'll hold on to for the rest of my life.
And Chris, what next?
Well, I've been doing a little bit of commentating. I have been in at ABC doing a little bit over the Big Bash and stuff like that. And I've been doing coaching with the Blues and with the Parkway stuff the last few years while I've been injured. But my wife told me she wants me to take, 6 to 12 months off because I've got about 360 degrees of direction that I can go at the moment, which is horrible because I don't know where I'm going. So it's not a bad thing. We just need to narrow down some sort of direction because it could be absolutely anything. And it's not such a bad thing to be in this position where I can still come to training, I can still help out, I can do my coaching, I can do my commentating, and run out the rest of the season and see where we land now that we have the luxury of a little bit of time.
Do you think coaching or broadcasting will appeal more, or is that what you're trying to work out?
It's just what's in front of me right now. I hear so many stories of people that have these ideas in their head, and then they go to an event, a party or whatever, and they meet someone and say, hey, we really want someone like you to come and do this for us. And it's a totally different environment, totally different lifestyle. And you know, maybe those things pop up. You know, it could be anywhere from coaching, broadcasting to, flying planes to selling stocks to, teaching. You know, it could absolutely be anything. And I guess other than the fact that direction's hard, options are nice. So I'll leave them open for now. I'd love to be able to give you an answer, but I honestly couldn't give you one that you could probably tell me. I've got no idea.
You're in the box seat, and it will become clear.
It will come together. I do a golf podcast with Damien Fleming. We'll get you on that one. Chris, to talk golf.
You've made Chris's life.
A last round with Flammy. He wanted to come and play Bonnie Doon with me as a reciprocal, and I got him around, but it happened to be stroke that day, and he had an absolute shocker. So he hated it. Right. He hated it. He was like, I really wanted to play this place. I didn't want to play it in a stroke round and just get chewed up. So, I've played a lot of golf with Flem. He's great.
We're recording tomorrow, so I'll remind him about that.
Get him on. We're recording.
Chris Tremaine, congratulations on a fantastic career. As I said before, 17th on the list of all-time Sheffield Shield wicket takers, 319. wickets there. And all the very best for whatever you happen to do next. And thanks for joining us on Summer Grandstand.
Awesome. Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for having me.